Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 26 down through verse 35. Luke 1, 26 through 35. If you were here Sunday morning, then these verses will be familiar to you. And once again, as I mentioned Sunday morning, the message that God gave me, it's been broken up. The first one we did on prayer, and now we started this past Sunday about letting the Christ of Christmas take you to the next level. And we'll see the direction in which God has for us tonight. And there's one more sermon coming after this one. Luke chapter 1, notice verse 26 down through verse 35. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. During this Christmas season, the second message in this three-part series, and tonight the message is entitled, Let the Christ of Christmas Take Your Prayers to the Next Level. Let the Christ of Christmas take your prayers to the next level. Let's talk to our Heavenly Father for a moment. Father, again, we do just give you the praise. We want to worship your majesty. You're such a wonderful God. You've been so good to us. You've kept us alive. And so many other things you've done for us. And we just want to give you the praise. And I pray, Father, that you'll take me out of myself tonight. Give me the fullness of thy Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Give us what we need tonight so that we can take our praise to the next level. Give us understanding. Dissect your word in our minds and in our hearts. Father, please help us to understand what we're hearing tonight. And then put into practice. In Jesus' name I pray. And all the people of God said, Amen. Well, again, this past Sunday I came from this same passage and preached on let the Christ of Christmas take you to the next level. And then Sunday I dealt with two areas in which we should let the Christ of Christmas take us to the next level. I'm not going to re-preach them. I'm just going to give you the two points. I said, number one, let the Christ of Christmas take your commitment to God, to the next level. And then secondly, I said, let the Christ of Christmas take your commitment to God. Excuse me, commitment to talking about Christ with others to the next level. Now, tonight, I'm going to preach the third point as my sermon topic. I've already given it to you. And then I will bring, really, some points to develop this one. And I'm only going to give you one point tonight. You'll get the second point on Sunday. Sunday is one of them, what they call sugar stick sermons. If you don't know what that means that those kind of sermons make you feel good. Amen? That's why them sugar stick sermons you're going to get Sunday. Because we're going to be bragging on God, showing you what he can do. So let's deal with the very first point tonight. Let the Christ of Christmas take your prayers to the next level. Let me cover one point tonight. Number one, showing you what happened to Mary and how her prayers went to another level. I said, number one, she praised God in the midst of uncertainty. She praised God in the midst of uncertainty. Notice Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and verse 47. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, I'm going to start by explaining the latter part of verse number 47, because sometimes when you look at a scripture and you might scratch your head and you're thinking to yourself, okay, what is she actually saying there? Well, when Mary referred to God as her Savior, she was showing really that she was familiar with the Old Testament. I was even thinking when I was even dealing with this, if I wanted to, I could literally, by the grace of God, come up with a third message. And that is, let the Christ of Christmas take your character to the next level. This showed her character. She knew the word. Why? And I'll show you in a second, because she's literally making a reference to an Old Testament passage. Matter of fact, there are more than one Old Testament passage that refers to God as Savior. You can find out, I wasn't going to preach it, but I'll just go ahead and sling it out there since I'm not going to make it into a sermon. But a lot of times you can find out a lot about the character of a person by how they respond to various things during the Christmas season. You know, a person who knows the word, like Mary knew the word, and she's quoting something, she's giving you something, not a direct quote, but an indirect quote. She knows the word, and yet she's operating on that word as it refers to what God is doing to her through Christ. Well, sometimes, even right around Christmas time, we know the word. We know the Bible says that we're not supposed to lie over and over again. But how many times will loving Christians to their loving daughters and sons tell them a lie? They'll say, oh, you be good now because Santa Claus is going to bring you something. Now, if you're not good, Santa Claus is not going to bring you. You know what they're doing? They're telling a lie. They're lying to the kid. They know the word says not to lie, but now because it's Christmas, they're not operating in the way that they should. And so now they start telling that lie about Christmas, about Santa Claus bringing them something. Wouldn't it be something if God just said, you know what? The next year, I'm going to let Santa Claus bring you all your stuff. I know what I'm talking about. There's a church 13 minutes away from here where the youth director, I think I've shared this with you before, but the youth director, he was literally telling his child, a parent was telling his child about Santa Claus, and for years, you know, as a child is growing up, and would also teach the child about Christ. And then once the child found out that Santa Claus wasn't real, then the child said, well, I don't believe that Christ is real. And it got so bad until that person had to call in the youth leader because that child didn't want to hear what that father had to say, had to call in the youth leader, and the youth leader had to come in and try to tell that child that Jesus was real. See, we have to be careful when we start lying because things can spread and you can damage a child. But I'm not going to preach that one. Amen. I'm not going to preach about it. There's some things you can look at. You can tell about her character, even in Christ, but her character didn't change. But Mary, she's referring to God as her Savior, and she's showing that she's familiar with the word because she's making a reference to him, and God refers to himself as a Savior in the Old Testament. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. In Hosea chapter 13, verse number 4, it says, yet I am the Lord, thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me. For there is no Savior beside me. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 3. It says, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, there you go. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. See, God is the author of salvation. He is the originator of salvation. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is the author of salvation. He's the one who initiated salvation because he loved us. You say, well, then how do we get to the Father? Well, the second person in the Trinity, Jesus, put it this way. In St. John chapter 14 and verse number 6, the scripture state, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So God is the author of salvation. You get to God through Christ. And at the moment we believe, put our faith in, come through Christ to God for salvation, we are simultaneously, right after we believe, indwelt, by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9 states, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. At the moment you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and verse number 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gospel of your salvation, the good news, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. If you don't know what that's saying, that's saying at the moment you believed in Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you. And the Holy Spirit was literally the earnest of the inheritance. What does that mean? That means it was the down payment that was placed in you and on you, because it's showing that one day somebody is coming to redeem you and take you somewhere that you've never been before. When we bought our house, we had to put down earnest money. What does that mean? And when I say put down earnest money, we didn't have to do it. The person we got it from took care of everything. But what did it mean? It literally meant that we were getting what we had already stated we're going to purchase. All right, so now, at the moment you trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit of God came live on the inside of you. Your soul is already saved. And to that I say amen, praise God, hallelujah. But your body is still here. But one day, because you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, one day, that's a down payment. One day he's coming back from heaven. And by the way, God the Father is going to send God the Son to come back to get the one who's indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. And we're leaving this place, and we're going to be changed, transformed, and we'll be in his presence. That'll make a backslidden Baptist shout right there. It's the down payment. See, all three, if you don't understand where I'm going with this, all three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three are a part of salvation. All three play a role in your salvation. As the song said, we talk about, you know, Christmas time, a time of giving. As the song said, the Father gave the Son. The Son gave the Spirit, and the Spirit gives us life. You know the song, some of you, is called The Gift Goes On. How many of you heard that before? All right, got a few of us in here, all right? Maybe about five or six of us in here who've heard that song. Listen, we could put it this way. If we wanted to make it alliterated when it comes to salvation, we could say God is the author of salvation. Jesus is the agent of salvation. And the Holy Spirit is the assurance of salvation. You see what I'm saying? Matter of fact, the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He's the assurance of salvation. He bears witness with our spirit, and yet he's the down payment on the purchased possession. Hey, I'm telling you right now, we've got something to praise God for. I think we ought to give him some praise. Amen. Listen, we can rejoice like Mary in the very fact that we have a Savior tonight. That's what this is all about. That's what Christmas season is about. We have a Savior, and we focus in on the second person in the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 2:11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But you wouldn't have a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, if you didn't have a God who loved us enough to give us the very best that he had, and the only one who could redeem us from the slave market of sin. He was not touched with the Adamic nature. He did not possess that. He did not have Adamic blood flowing through his veins. It was God's precious blood flowing through his veins. And therefore he, as the Lamb of God, slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, came into this world to redeem lost humanity. If you don't know what I'm doing, I'm telling you, Mary was praising the God of her salvation, and you and I ought to praise the God of our salvation, because he is worthy to be praised. All three work together. We can rejoice and praise him tonight, but you may say, preacher, you don't understand. I'm saved, but I just can't praise him because I've got problems. Welcome to the crowd. Everybody in this building has problems. We do. Not a person in this building who is void of problems. I quote it off, man born of a woman, day is a few, full of trouble. And sometimes it gets full to overflowing. It gets all on the sauce of the table, the floor, and everything. Everybody has problems. The person I'm talking about tonight had problems. Mary had problems. But yet Mary praised God right in the midst of uncertainty. She didn't know how Joseph was going to respond. She didn't. She was going to be with Elizabeth for about 3 months. She stayed for 3 months. The Bible tells us that. Now, think about what's going on. She's going to stay with Elizabeth for 3 months. Then she's got to come back showing a little bit. And only about 3 months, kind of got a little bit poking out there sometime. And yet she's going to have to come to Joseph. And she's going to have to say, Joseph, I'm expecting. And I know that, you know, you've known me for a while. And I didn't even know that I was the chosen one. But I'm the one that Isaiah talked about. And I know I've been away for you for 3 months, but I'm expecting, but this is of the Holy Ghost. And I was thinking, I said, you know something? I don't want to be too hard on Joseph. You know, the Bible says how Elijah was a man of like passion, such as we are. Sometimes we think about the people in the Bible as they were maybe some super spiritual individual. They were human beings just like us. Now, let's just take it. Let's just put ourselves in this situation. You've known somebody all your life. Well, I just make it my wife myself. Say we were dating. And all of a sudden, maybe she decides she's going to leave and go to High Point. And then come back to South Carolina. And when she came back, she said, you know, I'm expecting, but it's of the Holy Ghost. when we going to get married? I tell you, no, I'm going to definitely have to do what Joseph. I'm going to have to go and think on these things, amen. I'm going to have to think on these things like Joseph. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm putting myself. But see, she didn't know how he was going to respond. But yet in the midst of uncertainty, she's just taking time. She's praising God. She's giving him the glory, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of us have problems. And I'm going to say, if we wait until we have no problems in our lives to praise God, we won't do it. We won't do it. We all have problems. Everybody's dealing with something. There's uncertainty. Life is just uncertain. And we can't live in the future. We've got to possess today because this is the only time we have. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We often apply that to Sunday, but that's not literally interpretation. That's not even talking about Sunday. That's just talking about a day period, because even that was written, Sunday wasn't the Lord's day. Every day that God gives us is a day that we can praise him and thank him just for waking us up, saving us, whatever it is, we can praise him. Right now, tonight, you may not know how you're going to pay that bill. Tonight, you may not know how you're going to handle that project that's coming your way. You may not know how your relationship is going to work out. You may not know how you're going to get your car fixed or your dishwasher fixed or your refrigerator fixed. You may not know how your future is going to work out. You may not know how this person is going to respond to you that you have to talk to sometime in the future. Life is full of uncertainties. But if you just get your mind on Christ, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. If we can get our minds and our focus in on the Christ of Christmas, then it can cause us to rejoice right in the midst of our adversity, the things that we go through. See, we've got to let the Christ of Christmas take our praise to the next level. Higher, amen. Got to take it to the next level. You say, well, preacher, I've got one problem. I don't know how to praise God. All right, let me help you out tonight. There are different ways we can praise God. Let me give you one way we can praise God, by our words. That's what Mary was doing. I mean, she was praising God. She was exalting him. We can do it by our words. How about this? How about amen? That works. That works. That'll work in any language. It works. How about hallelujah? That'll work in any language. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? Amen and hallelujah. It can work in any language. It might be amen. It might be amen. It might be amen. But it works in any language. Hallelujah. It may be hallelujah. If the H is silent, it's hallelujah. Amen, but it's going to work. That's amazing. There are so many things that we could just stop to think about. If you just stop to think about just a few things, it would blow our minds to where, how could somebody say that there is no God and that his word is not true? There's just too much around us. Let me give you a scripture showing you how that word amen and hallelujah, hallelujah are going to work. Revelation 19, verse number 4 says, and the 24 elders, when we went through the book of Revelation, that literally means the redeemed of all the earth, and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah, same as hallelujah. We praise him by saying amen. We can praise him by saying hallelujah. First Chronicles chapter 16, verse 36 says, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, and praise the Lord. Even in the New Testament, when it talks about speaking in tongues, and Paul was trying to correct what was going on there in the Corinthian church, he said, now, if you all get up there and you start speaking in tongues, he said, how's somebody who comes in who's unlearned, how are they going to say amen if they don't know what you're saying? That's paraphrased, but he said that. You go check it out for yourself. Amen will work anywhere. How about not only by words, but also by clapping your hands? We were doing that just a little while ago by clapping your hands. Psalm 47, verse number 1. See, I'm talking about taking it to the next level. It says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. It's okay to clap your hands in praise to God. Matter of fact, even God's creation is referred to metaphorically as praising him by the clapping of hands, even his creation. You say, where is that found at, preacher? Psalm 98, verse number 8, says, let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. And there's no period after the word together of verse number 8. So I'm going to read verse number 8 going right into verse number 9 because there's no period after together. It says, let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. Semicolon. For he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Listen, the Bible says, even refers to God's creation as clapping their hands joyfully together before the Lord. Isaiah 55 and verse number 12 says, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. God's creation praises him. Jesus, when he made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and some of that starchy crowd wanted them to be quiet. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if they hold their peace, my creation, he said the stones would immediately cry out. You said, do you think he's telling the truth? You better believe it. By the way, if he can make water come out of a rock, he can make amen come out of a rock. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Listen, if we agree with the truth and we want to praise God, hey, we can do so with our words. We can do so by clapping our hands. If we hear a song the same way, we praise him. He's good to us. He's dumped some honey over in our soul. Hey, it's okay by your words and by your hands. Well, I just talked about clapping. You can also praise him by lifting your hands. Amen. Praise the Lord, Sister Joyce, amen. Wave it, amen. By lifting up your hands. Psalm 134, verse number 2, says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Psalm 63, verse number 4, says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. We can also do it by standing. By standing. Psalm 135, verse number 1, 2, and 3 states, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Listen, people will stand and worship God. Singers will stand and worship God. People would stand and worship God by singing and by lifting the hands. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 2 and verse number 3 states, "And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God." Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5 and verse number 6 says, "Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Benai, Hashabaniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, 'Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise.'" They're standing, they're praising God, they're using their words. "Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heavens of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." Nehemiah chapter 12, verse number 40. "So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me." We can praise him by standing. And I could go on, but rather we praise him by standing or lifting up the hands or clapping the hands or by our words and amen and hallelujah, etc. We must allow the Christ of Christmas to take our praise to the next level so that we can praise God right in the midst of uncertainty. We need him to be able to take our praise to the next level so that we can praise him in the midst of our, "I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm going to praise him anyhow" times. Our praise need to be taken to the next level. Mary was focused on the Lord, focused on her God, and that allowed her to be able to praise. We call this the Magnificat. Why? Because her focus wasn't on Joseph, her problems, the people that might misunderstand, who don't know her, who even in the future will be out there with their little spiritual calculators saying, "Now, wait a minute, y'all only been married for how many months and you have a child? We be not born of fornication." All that, throw it aside. Because why? Her focus is on Christ. And see, if we can get our focus on the Christ of Christmas, on God and all that he's done for us, then even in the midst of our uncertainty, "I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know this, I'm going to enjoy this time and let God work it out sometime in the future." And by the way, the last time I checked, I read the book, he worked everything out with Joseph. Move right in. Took care of everything. I'm going to make a statement. Pouting does not move God. But praise does. Praise will move him. I hear Paul and Silas in prison saying, "Amen." When they started praying and praising, things start happening. Doors start opening. Chains start falling off. See, this is what I'm talking about. So you got to take your prayers to the next level. When you take your prayers to the next level, then you will see some things happening. Let's allow the Christ of Christmas to take our prayers to the next level.